No, we're going to start today at the bottom of Tet Amudet. We're up to Linitia. Okay, we're up to the. What are you laughing at?
I said this where you start.
The last word yesterday.
So the truth is, I was actually not going to start right there, but I could do that. I was going to start the Tana Rabbana, but we could go back. So bring you back to our Mishnah, okay? There's Arba Arba Shesh Shanim. Echa B'Nisan Rosh Hashanah L'Melechim V'L'Regalim. Echa B'Elul Rosh Hashanah L'Maser B'Hemah. Rav Elazar Rav Shimon Rav B'Echa B'Tishrei. Right, now we're up to this next section. B'Echa B'Tishrei Rosh Hashanah L'Shanim. This Mitim U'Liyoblot, which we did. And now L'Nitiah. Okay, for planting. So we're going to get to what does it mean for planting. Okay, minala. Where do we learn that we get it from planting? Dichtiv shalosh shanim arelim. Uchtivu b'shana harevi'it. Okay, it talks about for 3 years it should be your tree is orla, which means the first 3 years you plant a tree, you can't eat the fruits. U'b'shana harevi'it, it's called netzer revai, which the produce from that year you have to bring to the Beit HaMikdash and eat it there, kind of like maaser sheni. The yalav shana shana mitishrei. Here we're going to learn again that the shana shana we learn from tishrei dichtiv mereshita shana. Right, it says from the beginning of the year of ala harita shana. And what do we say? The reshita shana was Rosh Hashanah tishrei. Sorry, the ligmar shana shana minisan. Now the Gemara is asking the ligmar shana shana minisan. Why don't we learn just like rishon hu lachem lachodshei shana? We're going to have a repetitive sugya. דכתיב ראשון הוא לכם לחודשי השנה. דנים שנה שאין עם החודשים משנה שאין עם החודשים. Here the pasuk says the shana. It doesn't say לחודשי השנה. So we're going to learn a shana from a shana and not אין דנים שנה שאין עם החודשים משנה שיש עם החודשים. The shana with Nisan was לחודשי השנה, for the months of the year. So since months aren't mentioned here, we're just going to learn out from the place where years were mentioned without the mention of months. Tana Rabbanan. Echad hanotea, echad hamavrich, ve'echad hamarkiv, erev shvi'it. Shloshim yom lefnei Rosh Hashanah, al talo shana, umutar lekaimam b'shvi'it. Okay, now we're going to talk about somebody who, okay, we're going to learn these, what these mean. Echad hanotea, somebody who plants. Somebody who's mavrich, he takes the branches from a tree and he replants them in the ground. And echad hamarkiv is grafting. Grafts from one tree, he attaches it to another tree. If you do this on Erev Shemitah, 30 days before Rosh Hashanah, okay, that would be this year, okay, right before the Shemitah year starts, Al Talo Shana, that counts already as a year of Orla. Now we're going to talk about Orla and Shemitah together. Number one, it counts as a full year of Orla. 30 days counts as a year. Okay, what we're going to see here is, this is going to be throughout today, and we saw it in the past, so we're going to review it a little bit. There are some times where the Gemara considers a day as a whole year. There are some days where it needs a month. Right? Where did we talk about a month? A month we saw with renting of houses. And we said nobody rents a house for less than 30 days, so we need 30 days for it to be considered a year. In the case of the kings, we said even one day is enough to be counted as a year. Where else do we see that a day can be counted as a year or into a year? Bar mitzvah and bat mitzvah. What do? We have it 12 days and a 12 years and a day, or 13 years and a day, because a day is already considered into the next year. We're going to get to this today with animals and some other situations. There's one other one that came into my head. Oh, I thought about it, waiting for milk and meat. People wait between milk and meat sometimes, right, into the 6 hours. So some people wait 5 hours and 1 minute, and some people wait 5 hours and 30 minutes. Okay? This is all going to be what we're discussing today. We're going to see... Well, not Ava Abichlau, when you want to have into the next year, right, and it to be counted as a year, is it enough to have one? Or do you need 30? Or, right, like a more significant number? And we're going to see a machloket about it, and we're going to try to match that machloket up to this. Okay, so when it comes to Shemitah, there's two issues. And they get a little intertwined here, so it gets a little confusing because it's not clear exactly what the issue is. There's two things here about this 30 days. So you plant this 30 days before. So according to this, it counts as a year of Orla, and it's okay for Shnat Shemitah. Okay? Let's see, read the rest and then I'll explain. Pachot mishloshim yom lefnei Rosh Hashanah, lo al talo shana. If it's less than 30 days, it's not considered a year of Orla. Ve'asur l'kayimam b'shvi'it. And you have to basically uproot these. You can't let them grow on shvi'it. Why? So here there's two options, really, and it's unclear what the issue is at this point. Is it that it, in order for something to get absorbed, or in order for something to grow, it has to kind of take root. And it takes 30 days for it to take root. So if it takes 30 days for it to take root and you did it less than 30 days before Shemitah, then your planting took root on the Shemitah year. And that's why you have to uproot it. That's one option. The other option is that the issue is Tosefet Shviit, which we learned about, if you learned yesterday's stuff, all about Tosefet Shviit and Tosefet Shabbat, and that you have to be Mosif Michol HaKodesh, and 30 days before you already have, it's already part of Tosefet Shviit. So it's unclear exactly whether this 30 days is connected to that or that. We're going to talk about it soon. Uperot Etiazo. Now, they have this last line, which is a very confusing line. There's a whole entire page in the Schottenstein describing just this line. We'll try to summarize it briefly. Uperot Etiazo Asurin Ad Tevav Bishvat. Im La'orla, Orla Be'im La'Revai, Revai. These perot, now it seems to be referring to the first case. If it counts as a year, if you did it 30 days before, and that counts as a year of Orla. Well, it's true it counts as a year of Orla, but what does that mean it counts as a year of Orla? You have 30 days here, that's your first year. Okay, that counts as year one. Then you have your year two, okay? And then you have year three. Now, you haven't had three full years of Orla, right? But it says it counts as Orla. But now what are they telling you? Your year three ends when, what do we say? Rosh Hashanah is Tishrei, right? This all starts in Tishrei. Again, what is this Brisa telling us? What does it mean it starts in Tishrei? It means that the cutoff point is 30 days before Tishrei, right? If you have a whole month before Tishrei, then that already counts as a year, kind of like the kings, except the kings was one day, right? And here it's 30. What they tell you here is that you have to wait until Tu B'Shvat in order to be able to eat the Orla fruits, okay? Even though your Orla year is up in Tishrei, you have to wait basically almost half a year before you can eat them.
Because of that first year being shorter in any case.
Yes, mm-hmm. That's the real question.
Could it be that they're also not even ready before Tishrei?
Ah, okay. So now there's a whole issue. There's a few different opinions here, and one opinion is basically, if you look, let's wrap the Schottenstein, there's a nice chart here, although it doesn't really explain everything. But you can look here, and it shows... So according to the first opinion, Rashi, Rambam, Ravid, and others, basically, if you have the 30 days before, then you need until Tu B'Shvat after to basically make up for the fact that you didn't have a full year. So you need to kind of make it up, and we give you till Tu B'Shvat. But, one second, the difference here is that not everybody agrees with that. Some people say that this is every nitiyah, you have to wait. And the reason is, not because you have to make up for the lost time, but because things, and what's the issue here? It's something that what happens? The tree buds, and then the fruit starts to come out. If the fruit came out before Tu B'Shvat, you can't eat it. And what's the reason? Not because you have to make up, because it's Orla, and you need extra Orla, because you kind of only got away with a short year, but because anything that budded and started, the fruit started to come out before Tu B'Shvat is considered from the rains and the season of last year. So it's really still from year three. You're just seeing the after effects of year three, but it's really from year three. Okay, we see this in Shemitah, by the way. The Shemitah year is going to be next year, but the fruits, most of them are going to be a problem the year after because it's all the work is done in the Shemitah year for the fruits we eat after. So some people say that that's what this Tu B'Shvat is, and therefore it relates to many more cases than just the 30 days before. It's really, you have to wait until, because of the, it's called Chanita, okay, when the pre comes out, the fruit comes out, and that's when, that shows where it was from. So if the fruit comes out after Tu B'Shvat, then it's clear it's from this year, and it's okay. But if it's before Tu B'Shvat, then it's from the previous year. So there's a machloket about how to view this Tu B'Shvat.
But this chart doesn't even refer to planting right before Shemitah, because if it did that whole second year, that whole first year, you'd have to uproot it and start all over again anyway.
Right, that's true.
So this chart doesn't include
Shemitah. Right, this doesn't include Shemitah year. Exactly. There's two issues being discussed in this Brita. Debbie, what did you want to ask?
I want to say that the bud precedes the flower, and then after the flower, the fruit.
That's what I meant. I meant the fruit coming out. It's the fruit coming out that's the issue. Right. When you start after the flower falls, right, and the fruit starts to come out. That's what I meant. Yeah. Okay. So now, that's our Braita. What we're going to try to figure out is, so now we're going to say Menahane Mele. First, we want to find the source for this. Am Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, Am Rabbi Yochanan, Umatu Ba Mishmej Rabbi Yanai. Some people bring in the name of Rabbi Yanai. Amar Kra. Ubashana Harabi'it, Ubashana Hamishit. Pa'ami, okay, what is this? Ubashana Harabi'it, Ubashana Hamishit. I brought it to you on the sheet. Look at the sheet. Bayikra Paratevav. Okay, it says, I'm sorry, not that pasuk. Where is it here? Where do you see it? I can't find it now.
I see it in the Shulchan.
Okay. I thought I brought it here. Okay, I thought I was brought on the sheet. Anyway, if you look in the Shan scene, there's two psukim. It says, "Ubishana harivit." This is with Orla. Yekol periyot kodesh tulim lashem. The pasuk before was talking about the shana, the 3 years. Then it says, "End." The key here is going to be "end." End on the fourth year, and then the next pasuk is "end on the fifth year." Ubishana hachamishit. So, what does the Gemara say here? Pa'amim shebirivit va'adayin asura mishum Orla. What are they saying? The end on the fourth year comes to connect the third and the fourth. And to say that there's some overlap between the third and the fourth, there's some part of the fourth year that's still asur like the third, and there's some part of the fifth year that's still considered netar ravai, right? That you have to bring your fruits to Yerushalayim. Okay, remember, Orla is the first 3 years, it's forbidden bichlal to eat the fruits. Next year, you can eat them, but you have to bring them to Shalayim to eat them. The fifth year already, it's Mutar Lagamri. So, this is what you have. You have the end comes to say that there's some overlap. And that's how they learn this halakha. Okay. Now, we're going to try, and this is what the Gemara is going to do for a while. We're going to try to figure out, we're going to take another machloket that we know of, and try to figure out which opinion of this machloket of the Tanaim does our Braita match up to. The fact that you need 30 days and 30 days is considered a year and not necessarily one day, okay? Whose opinion is that going to be like? So the Gemara is immediately going to say, Lema deloka Rabbi Meir. We're going to assume that this isn't like Rabbi Meir. Okay? De'ik Rabbi Meir ha'amar yom echa b'shana chashuv shana. Because Rabbi Meir holds that one day is already considered a year. Okay? What we're going to have here, by the way, is I'm just going to give you a look ahead, so you'll see the structure. First, we're going to say it's not like Rabbi Meir, who holds one day as a year, and here 30 days is a year. Then they're going to say, so it must be it holds like the other opinion, who says 30 days is a year, but we're going to reject that. There's a problem with that opinion. And eventually, we're going to go back and work this source out with Rabbi Meir. Okay, so in the beginning, they're rejecting Rabbi Meir. We're going to reject it, but afterwards, we're going to go back, and we're going to explain it actually according to Rabbi Meir. So what's the machloket Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Elazar? Ditanya. There's a braita that says this. Par ha'amor b'torah stam ben esrim v'arba'a chodesh v'yom echad. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Elazar omer ben esrim v'arba'a l'chodesh v'lamid yom. I'm just going to read a little bit more and then I'll explain it all. Because I want to explain from the end to the beginning. Shahaya Rabbi Meir omer kol makom shenemar egel b'torah stam ben shana. Ben Bakar, Ben Shtayim, Par Ben Shalosh, period. Let's start with the last line. Rabbi Meir is explaining here that when it says in the Torah, if you ever notice the Korbanot, right, they give different animals, and they call them by this, right, an Egel, a Par, Egel Ben Bakar, okay? They're all really the same animal. So what's the difference between them? Their age, okay? An Egel is a calf, right? A baby calf. So what do they say here? So if it says egel without any words that go with it, just egel, it means it's a year old. They're looking for an animal a year old. If it's ben bakar, an egel ben bakar, then it's 2 years old, it needs to be. And if it's par, it's ben shalosh. Now some people say a par could be 4 or 5 years also. There's an opinion that says that's already a zaken and better off not to bring it lechatchila. It should really be within its third year. Okay. Mm-hmm. For those of you who are feeling old at the table, 3 years is already old. 4 years is already old.
3 and cow years is different.
Clearly. We're also not being brought as sacrifices, thankfully. So now what do we have here? The question is, when does it become? When do you count it? First of all, as a year, what did we learn already? It can't be the first 8 days of the year, right? So a year means a year, right? But then the question is, at what point is it already into its second year? At what point do you call it two? From the day it turns from 1 year and a day, is that already into its second year? Or do you need it to be 30 days into the second year? There's a big question. I don't have a good answer for it, but there's a question they ask. There's different answers given. What do you do about the animal when it's, let's say, according to Rabbi Elazar, that it needs 30 days? Okay? So what do you do with it that first month? Can it be brought still from year one? Mm-hmm. Or can it not be brought at all? Some people say it can't be brought at all. It's neither here nor there. Okay? But anyway, the question really here is, when is it considered 2 years old? Or when is it considered, the machloket they're bringing here is the 3 years old. The par, that needs to be 3 years old, is it 24 months and a day? Or is it, that's Rabbi Meir's opinion, Rabbi Elazar says it's 24 months and 30 days. Okay? That's the machloket. So what do we say? So Rabbi Meir, who holds that 1 day isn't enough to be considered a year, can't be the one who says here that 30 days before is already considered a year. If you have 30 days, that's a year. That's not Rabbi Meir's opinion. Okay? Because he says one day is already enough to be considered a year. So you wouldn't need 30 beforehand. So now what do we say? Afilu tema Rabbi Meir. We could try to say Rabbi Meir. Ki ka'ama Rabbi Meir yom echad b'shana chashuv shana b'sof shana. Ava b'tchilat shana lo. But that, you could say that Rabbi Meir could say that what? That Yom Echad B'Shana is considered a year when you're talking about the end of a year. But B'Tchilat Shana lo. In our case, with the animal, you're considered that the year ended, that he's already going to turn 3 because the year ended, right? When we say he's a full 2 years old and he's already starting his third year, it's enough for just 1 day to close off that year and start the new one. But here we want to count a unit that's much less than a year, and we want to say that counts as a full year. That's a different situation, right? To say the year ended and we're already on to the next one, that's okay to have just 1 day. But in this case, you would need 30 to count as a full year. This is like to start a year. To say this year started and ended, you need a real unit. 1 day is not going to be enough. So you could say that. And therefore, you could explain Rabbi Meir with the Mishnah. But then Rava rejects this. And Rava says, Amar Rava v'lav kal v'chomer hu. Uma nida she'ein tchila. So what was this concept here that the Gemara tried to say? That it could count as a year when you're ending a year, but not when you're starting something, right? When you're starting to count something, that you need a full count. So now they bring an example where it's the opposite. When you start, you don't need it to be full, but when you end, you need it to be full. And therefore, they're going to reject that distinction. Uma nida she'ein tchilat hayom olala b'sof... Sorry, Hammer. Uma nida she'ein tchilat hayom olala b'sofa, sof hayom olala b'tchilata. Okay, what's with Nida? Okay, here I brought the pasuk. Now look at the pasuk by Yikritevah. Isha ki tiyezava, dam yezava bifsara, shivat yamim tiye benidata. According to Torah law, this is different from the 7 days that we keep of the 7 clean days. According to Torah law, a Nida is a Nida for 7 days, including all the days that she bleeds. Okay? She starts bleeding, let's say on a Sunday, she counts Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Shabbat. When does she go to the mikvah? Saturday night. Okay? Why does she go at night and not during the day? By the way, everybody went to the mikvah during the day. Remember, we learned about the tful yom. They go to the mikvah in the morning, and they become tahor in the afternoon.
It counts into the next day.
So how does it work here? Not because it counts to the next day, but you need the full seventh day. The seventh day has to be full, because it says, shiv'at yamim tiyeh b'nidata. You need a full 7 days, and only then can you go to the mikvah. But what about the first day? She starts to bleed any time of day. That day counts as her first day. She doesn't need a full day in the beginning. It's enough that she bleeds for 5 minutes before Shkia. That's counted as her first day, which is similar a little bit to nowadays. That's not the days that they're talking about there. The days that we count, the 4 or the 5, whether you're Sephardi or Ashkenazi, has to do with something else, which is Poletet Shachat Zera. And there also we count a part day as a whole day. But that's not what they're discussing here. So what did they say with Anida? Ein tchilat hayom olala b'sofa. The beginning of a day doesn't count, right? She doesn't go to the mikveh in the morning. She needs a full seventh day. To end it, she needs it to be full. But sof hayom olala b'tchilata. In other words, the end of the day of the first day counts to get her started. So this concept of saying to get started and for it to be considered a whole year, right? Maybe you would need more. Here in Nida, it's the exact opposite. So therefore, what are they saying? השנה שיום בתחילה, so שנה שיום אחד עולה לה בסופה, if one day counts to end off the year, right, which is for this animal, to say as soon as your one day passed, we can already consider that ending your full second year. Eino din sheyom achad ole b'tchilata. So therefore, wouldn't you think that to start things, it would also work? Okay, and therefore, you can't make that distinction of starting and finishing because we can make the exact counter-argument somewhere else. So therefore, we're still left with, in this case, so what do we have? We tried to say it wasn't Rabbi Meir. We rejected it in saying that there's a difference. And then we said, no, in the end, we still say this can't be Rabbi Meir, because if he's not going to count it then, he's not going to count it then, and therefore it must be that the beginning and the end should be kind of the same, and if he doesn't count it there, if he counts one day there, he should count one day here, and therefore it can't work according to Rabbi Meir. Remember, I told you we're going to bring back Rabbi Meir, but not at this point. At this point, we've now rejected Rabbi Meir. So now they're going to try the other opinion, but the other opinion also has a problem. Be'elamai, Rabbi Elazar, if we say it's Rabbi Elazar, shloshim shloshim bai. You need 60 days. Okay, it's interesting, right? They don't say 60, they say shloshim shloshim. Why? Because each unit of shloshim is for something else. Now we're going to get into what I discussed earlier. Ditna. Ein notin ve'ein mavrichim ve'ein markivin erev shvi'it pachot mishloshim yom lefnei Rosh Hashanah. You can't do any of these pu'ulot, planting, replanting a branch of a tree, or grafting, the erev shvi'it, this is just about Shemitah, less than 30 days before Rosh Hashanah. You have to uproot it. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, okay, there's a machloka whether it's for Rabbi Eliezer or it's really Tanakama. In our version of the Mishnah, it just appears without a name. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, kol harkava she'ena koletet b'shlosha yamim, shuv ena koletet. What is the whole machloket here? There's going to be a three-way machloket. You can see the chart on the page. Three-way machloket about when things get absorbed into the ground, lashrish, right? They become rooted. So according to Tanakhama, it takes 30 days. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it takes 3 days. If it hasn't taken root in 3 days, it's never going to take root. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, Omrim, Shtei Shabbatot, 2 weeks. Okay, so there's a three-way machloket, 3 days, 2 weeks, or 30 days. Va'amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabbi Bar Avua, L'divrei ha'omer shloshim, Sarich shloshim ushloshim. Okay, now, what's his question? In order for something to be considered Orla, a year of Orla, what are we going to need? If you say it takes 30 days to take root, then you're going to need 30 days for it to take root, and then another 30 days for it to be considered a year. Because you might do the planting, but it doesn't count for anything. The clock doesn't start ticking until it takes root. So how many days are you going to need for it to be counted as Orla? An additional 30. If you think this whole braita is assuming that you need 30 days for it to be considered a year. So what are you going to need then? You're going to need the 30 days for it to take root, and then the 30 days for it to be considered a year. L'divrei ha'omer shlosha, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, how many are you going to need? Tzarich shlosha u'shloshim. L'divrei ha'omer shtei shabbatot, tzarich shtei shabbatot u'shloshim yom. Okay, so whether you say it's 30 days, whether you say it's 3 days, whether you say it's 2 weeks, okay, and here's what the chart over here. In order for something to be considered a year of Orla, you're going to need that base period where it takes root, plus you're going to need to go back another 30 days in order for the Orla to count. Okay, so that's this braita. So now they're saying, if it's Rabbi Elazar, okay, then what would you need to say? You would need to say that you would need 60 days. This braita would need to say 60 days. So you have, it can't be Rabbi Meir, because Rabbi Meir would only need 1 day, and it certainly doesn't say 1 day there, it says 30 days. But even the 30-day unit is irrelevant, because it's really 60. If you're going to say 30, then it really needs 60, because you need it for it to, remember I told you in the beginning, it wasn't clear, are we talking about taking root, or are we talking about it being considered a year? So now what they're saying is they're both issues. First it needs to take root, and then it needs the 30 days for it to be considered Orla, or what we have is the Tosefet Shvi'it issue. Right? For where it comes to Shemitah, it's the Tosefet Shvi'it. Okay?
It's so interesting that they're being so midriyak about things that aren't midriyak. Because it depends who does the planting, what tree, what everything. Okay. And also, you have to wonder, right, these people...
Different plants take root different times, right, which is also an issue.
And they're being so precise. Like, it almost... Like,
I'll tell you why they're being precise. They're being precise, which is very often the case, because they need a system. It's very hard to make individual, this tree is this way, this tree is that way. It gets very confusing. If you ever, you know, on Shemitah year, if you have fruit trees, so you have to follow these charts they have about each fruit and what time of year that fruit, you know, when the fruit flowers, right, because it's all about when the fruit flowers. And then you have to know which trees flower, which, so there's a very complicated list. You have to have avocado, if it's lemons, if it's, each one has a different date. So it gets very confusing. So they're trying to come up with a system that everybody knows, because you know the system. When it's very detailed, people don't follow. So they want to, this is also easier. When it comes to the fruits, you really need to know, because it's either going to be Shemitah or it's going to be Maaser. Here what they're saying is, although here I guess it's the same thing, but they're giving this 30-day period and saying those 30 days, right? In other words, they're trying to come up with a number. We're going to assume that things take 30 days to take root.
But they're not, aren't they actually just trying to make a point? It goes back to our Mishnah, which is just about how do you count time? I mean, they're not right. So much legislating on...
Well, they're legislating here because they're saying if you plant within 30 days of Rosh Hashanah, you have to uproot it. It's considered the rate of the Shemitah year. And then, you know, and then now they're saying, well, maybe even 60 days, within 60 days, right? Because the first 30 days are right? In other words, the 30 days closest to Rosh Hashanah are really part of your Shemitah year. And then we have to go back another 30 to count for the Tosefet Shvi, or for the Orla, for it to be considered a whole year, we have to go back another 30 days. But it is complicated because it really should be more personalized depending on which tree. But we need a system here. It's hard to work without a real system.
I wonder why Rabbi Yehuda thought 3 days. What plant roots within three
right.
days?
It could be...
Sprouts. But they were talking about trees.
I know. Even trees. It could be... When you're planting the seed, it may only take the sprout.
It could also be a degree of how much root it takes.
Right.
Right?
To the extent they call root.
Exactly. I think that's also a debate here. That must be really what they're debating, is how much does it need to take root for it to be considered it took root, right?
Well, okay. I think if from a seed you would know if it's going to start to take root or not depending on where it opened, even if there was no, you know, no root.
Right.
If it didn't even open within the first few days,
then it's not going to happen. So that's really what Rabbi Yehuda is saying. He even says it in that way. If it didn't work, then it's not going to work. It's finished. So, right, which could be, according to him, the determining factor is, did this seed actually, is it going to succeed? Once you know it's going to succeed, that's already significant, even if it hasn't really taken full root. Okay, so now what we have is that the Braita no longer matches Rabbi Meir, because Rabbi Meir would say one day, and here it says 30, and it no longer matches the other guys, because the other guy, right, this Braita that we learn, because according to, sorry, it's a Mishnah, I believe, the Mishnah that we learned, because this Mishnah seems to imply, it's a Mishnah Shvi, that you need 30 days in addition to whatever you need before. So now, if we reread it according to Rabbi Meir, what would we need according to Rabbi Meir? 31, right? So it doesn't match Rabbi Meir because it doesn't say 31. So now, what does the Mishnah say? The Gemara say, Ela la'olam Rabbi Meir. Okay, so now we're going to go back and we're going to say it really is Rabbi Meir. V'chi ka'amar shloshim l'klita. When he talks about the 30 days, it's true that Rabbi Meir, to count something for a year, doesn't need more than a day. To count something for a year, one day is enough. But when the Braita here said you need 30 days, what was it talking about? It was talking about to take root. 30 days before, right? Not having anything to do with what counts as a year, right? According to Rabbi Meir, one day, right, is equals a year, right? That's significant, to be already a unit. But here you need 30 days for it to take root. Okay, that's what's important here, the 30 days. So now again, what's the question? Exactly what I said before. You would need, ihati lamed aleph bai, you would need 31 days. You would need the 30 days for it to take root, plus the one day, and it only says 30. So why does it say 30? So the answer given is, kasavar yom shloshim ole lekanu lekan. Not only is one day significant, but even part of a day is enough. Miktzat hayom kekulo. We learn that in a bunch of different areas, right? With Avelut, we have that. Miktzat hayom kekulo, you get up already the seventh day. And also the day of the burial. If there's enough time to sit for a short time, it already counts as a day. So what does he say here? The 30th day, it takes root. It takes root at some point before the end of the day. So then you already have that 30th day to count as your first day of the year. So that's why in the end we say that this is all explained according to Rabbi Meir. Okay. So now, we've now answered up our question. Now the Gemara is going to try to say, what's the source for the fact, the machloket, whether 30 days or a year, and they learn it out from the Mabul. And from here we're going to get to the Mabul, the flood. We're going to get to dates of the flood. From here we're going to get into what day the world was created. Okay? We're not going to get to that today. We're going to get to that next time. But we're going to get to, finally, we're going to see both opinions about whether it was in Tishrei and whether it was Nisan. And it all goes back to the way they dated the Mabul. Now, it's very interesting about the way they dated the Mabul. Okay? They date it as, they count it according to the years of Noach's birth. Okay? They say it was the 600th year. The 600th year was to Noach's life. Okay? But then they count months. So the whole question here is, the month clearly weren't from Noah's birth. I just read something before class that's quoted in the Koran about that there's an opinion that says that from here we learn, going back to the giver, from here we learn that when people count from their birth, they should count from the beginning of the year and not, right, they should count how old they are from the beginning of the year and not from when they were actually born. Okay? I don't know if there's any real significance to that, but you see it from Noah because it's bizarre that they pick a date that's counted from the year, but they count it the first month, the second month, which they, at least the way the Gemara explains it, is not talking about the first month of his life and the second month of his life, but the first month to the creation of the world and the second month to the creation of the world, again, even though the years don't match up to that. So here we see, if we talk about strange countings in the Torah and how each counting, it's tough to know exactly what it is, here they're taking a counting where years are counted to something and months are counted to something else. And then we're going to get on to all sorts of incidents and when they happened, you know, when the Avot were born and when they died and all sorts of different dates they're going to get to. Okay, so now we're going to start off with this. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ushnehem Mikra Achad Darshu. They both learned it out from the same Pasuk, about 30 days and the one day. Vayihi Be'achat Ushesh Me'ot Shana. Okay, here's when the Mabul starts. Barishon, I'm sorry, this isn't when the Mabul starts. This is when, after the Mabul started in the second month on the 17th day of the month. Okay, I actually found something interesting last night. I don't know what to make of it, but I was looking at the dates in the Mabul. So it starts off on the second month, I think the 17th day of the month? Yeah, the 17th day of the month. Then it rains for 150 days, 150 nights. How many months is that, approximately? Right, divided by 3, 5. Okay? Divided by 30. 30 days in a month about, 5 months. When does the rain stop? It gives us a date. The 7th month, the 17th day of the month. It's very strange, because why? That would mean that every month had 30 days exactly, and we know that every month has either 29 or 30. It's not possible. According to the lunar months, it's not possible that you could have, you know, you could have 5 months in a row, all 30-day months. It doesn't make sense. So, I don't know how to answer that. Shira, of course, I was discussing this in my house, and Shira said right away, she's very into numbers and things like that, she said, but if they were all covered, how did they keep count? Right? They were covered in water. How could they possibly have kept count of days? Which is a fabulous question. Mm-hmm. Right? In other words, either the Torah is telling us, but again, after the Mabul then, how did they know what date they were up to? And then it's actually really interesting, because I think she was leaning, I don't know if she exactly said this, but leaning toward it, what happens? It says, Harvu, right? Like it dried up, not entirely, but it dried up on what day? And that's our pasuk. On the 601st year, on the first month, the first day of the first month. So I think what Shira was intimating was that maybe they like restarted the count at that point because they had nowhere to go. But, right? It's a bizarre coincidence that it was the first month and the first day. I mean, again, there's no coincidences. It could have God kind of planned it that way, but it was interesting that. Or maybe God planned it that way so that we could start counting from scratch. In other words, how would you possibly know what date it was? That was an interesting perspective. That I wouldn't have thought of.
Dates aren't useless, right? If you're starting all over by when it dried, how do they?
Right, exactly.
But how do they know who's keeping count? Maybe the narrator is keeping count of all this.
Right, but assuming we're keeping count from some count that was kept count from some count, it has to be more than the narrator knows. You know, you could say God told somebody at some point, you know, there was communication at that point, but it's tough to know. Anyway, it's a good question. It's something to think about. In any case, this pasuk says on the 601st year. So what are we going to say about this? Be'echad l'chodesh. Rabbi Meir savar mida'akate yom echad hu de'ayel b'shana. Since it was only the first day of the first year, right? And what did they say? It was the 601st year. They're already counting the next year. What does that prove to you? One day already is into the next year. Here you see, one day was considered a year. V'idach, this proof I find also a little difficult. I'll tell you why in a minute. Iktiv b'shesh me'ot ve'achad shana kidekam arka. If it said 601 years, it would be fine. But what does it say? Ha shedichtiv ba'achat b'shesh me'ot shana, right? Which I find it difficult as proof. Why? Because he's saying the fact that the Torah counts at 1 and 600, okay? So what does he prove from there? Shana ashesh me'ot kai. The year is close to what word? Not the one, but the 600. So it's still counting as the 600th year. It's just telling us it's one, you know, it's starting to get into the first year, but umay achat. So why does it say achat? Itchalta de achat kamar. It's the beginning of the first, but it's not counted yet as the first. Okay, that's what he says. Now, it's difficult because we know that in the Torah they always count backwards. Right? It was the signon, it was the way they spoke. So it's hard that he's making a drasha on this signon in this place. Because all the time they count backwards. They count, you know, Sarah, she lived 7 and 20 and 100 in, you know, 100 years. Or Achashverosh also, the 7 and 20 and 100. So it's a hard proof, but anyway, he says that. And now we're going to say, so where does he get to 30 then? Rabbi Elazar, my time, dichtiv, barishon be'echad l'chodesh. So now he learns from the rest of the pasuk, how do we get to 30 then? What does it say? It says on the first of the first day of the first month. Mida'akate yom echad hu da'ayel b'chodesh, b'kakari lechodesh. It's saying basically, what do we have? We're one day into the next, right, into the month. And it's already calling it a month. So if one day counts to call something a month, he's now going to say, Shma mina yom echad b'chodesh chashuv chodesh. One day into a month is considered a month. So now let's make the analogy. When we do yom echad b'chodesh chashuv chodesh, Lamed yom b'shana chashuvim shana. We're going to make an analogy. What's the analogy? Right? One day is to a month, as 30 days is to a year. So since it calls it be'echad, the pasuk says barishon be'echad l'chodesh, right? Barishon means on the first, right? On the first, right? Now it's saying that's already echad l'chodesh. So we're counting that as the first month. So one day is enough for a month, but you need a whole month for a year. So that's how he gets to the beginning of 30 days. Okay. And now he just gives a summarizing sentence. Shana b'chodesh l'minu... B'chodesh l'minuya v'shana l'minuyeha. They each have their own recording system, right? A chodesh needs 1 month, and a year... I'm sorry, one day, and a year needs a month. And that's how he gets to the fact that 30 days is considered a year. Tomorrow we're going to get to, now there's a big question whether this next sentence appears or not. You see it's in parentheses, usually in parentheses that means take it out. Not everybody agreed that you should take out this sentence. Michlad travayu svira lehu benisa nivra ha'olam. Now they're going to say that clearly both these guys, right, if they said, they both learned it from the Mabul, and they both learned it from the way it was dated, but clearly they both agree that benisa nivra ha'olam. And it's unclear whether that's really true or not. In other words, some people say that sentence doesn't belong, and it's not so clear that they both agree that B'nisa Nivra Olam. If you say that they both agree that B'nisa Nivra Olam, that makes sense, then why we now get into the Machloket, and we're going to show the Machloket whether it was Nisan or whether it was Tishrei. If you say it's not, then you have to explain a little bit better as to what how this connects to the next sugya, why they start bringing up B'nisa Nivra Olam and B'tishrei Nivra Olam. We'll get into that tomorrow.